This is Charlottesville Tomorrow. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonprofit organization engaging the public on critical quality of life issues so we make informed choices for our community's future. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org. On November 3, 2015, voters in the city of Charlottesville go to the polls to elect their representatives to 4 seats on the Charlottesville School Board. This recording is Brian Wheeler's August 26, 2015 interview with incumbent Amy Laufer. Other candidates in this race include Adam Hastings, Sherry Kraft, and incumbent Jennifer McKeever. Ms. Laufer, thank you for participating in this interview with Charlottesville Tomorrow. The complete audio recording and written transcript for this interview will be available online. Information from this interview will be used in the compilation of the Nonpartisan Voter Guide being co-produced by Charlottesville Tomorrow, The Daily Progress, and the League of Women Voters. Charlottesville Tomorrow does not endorse any candidates, and our goal is to provide information to the public so they can make an informed choice, informed vote, on issues primarily related to land use, transportation, public education, and community design. As you are aware, the first 2 questions you will be asked have been provided in advance. For the others, you have been provided only the topic in advance. All Charlottesville School Board candidates will be asked the same questions. We ask that you keep these questions confidential until all candidates have been interviewed. Each candidate will be provided an opportunity to review the excerpts selected for the voter guide before its publication. Are you ready to start?
Sure.
Question number 1. Please describe your past experience that qualifies you to be on the Charlottesville School Board.
So currently I am the chair of the school board. I was elected 4 years ago, and previous to that I have my master's in education. I was a middle school math and science teacher for about 7 years. I was in the Peace Corps at a school in Jamaica. And locally, I was on the Commission for Children and Families as a parent rep, and I was also involved with the Special Education Advisory Committee, which I still am now as a school board member, not as a parent. And I've been the PTO chair at Greenbrier, and I'm part of the gang reduction through community intervention with the city and county, and I'm also on the Black Male Achievement Committee through the city.
Question number 2. What is your top priority for action by the school board during the next 4 years?
So my priority is maintaining and improving and increasing our graduation rate. And the way I want to do that is through focusing on reading levels, truancy and attendance, and professional development with our teachers.
Question number 3.
Actually, can I expand on that?
Sure.
So in my work on the board, we've looked at a lot of different data, and we have increased our graduation rate within the past 10 years, but it seems there are some gap groups that need to be focused on: special education, English language learners, and minority students. And the way I would like to focus on them are through professional development with our teachers. A couple of years ago, we did a full-on math development for all of our teachers, and we saw a major increase in our math performance for the SOLs. So we are going to be implementing this year some professional development directly in reading for all staff members, because we feel like first-time instruction, being as critical as it is, you know, reading is something that's critical for all subject areas. So that's one area that we're focusing on this year. We're also talking about extending the school day for the students that are reading below grade level from grades 1st through 6th. And we know that it's about 20% to 30% of our students that are facing that each year. With the interventions we currently have, we know we make progress, but each year, you know, they still can't make that next step. So I'm very passionate about that, and I think that'll be a way to improve our graduation rates. And we've also been working with Cray Deeds and Delegate Toscano about our SOL scores for our English language learners at the high school level, because each year we get students that come in with no experience with any kind of formal education, and having them pass an SOL test within the 6 months required is really difficult. And those students are most likely are dropouts. So trying to give some wiggle room in terms of the pass rate for those students is critical. And that actually has gone really well. We want to increase the amount of students that we can affect with that. And then in terms of truancy and attendance, we see kindergarten as an area of focus, I believe. We have about between 18 to 30% of our kindergartners are not coming to school on time and every day. So making sure that we educate the parents on how critical kindergarten is. I mean, when we went to kindergarten, it was, you know, a lot of sleep time and milk time, but our kindergarten is pretty robust in terms of reading expectations and learning the school day, and want to make sure that the parents don't see it as an extension of preschool, but it is school time. And then we also see in our middle school, grades 5th through 8th, we have 20 to 27% of students that are absent more than 10 days. And we've implemented a program called Check and Connect with the city, and we saw a great increase of school attendance. And that is a program that really focuses on individualized attention and talking with the families to make sure the kids get there on time, incentives. And we're increasing that program actually to incorporate two of our elementary schools this year. So I'd like to increase that, you know, monitor that, make sure that we're doing everything we can to get students to school every day on time and ready to learn. So those would be my focus for the next 4 years.
Great. Question number three. Business leaders and social service agencies have told local government that new investments are sorely needed in the area of early childhood education. Will you make pre-K education and quality child care a priority, and if so, how?
So I believe we have made pre-K education a priority. We have currently 220 students enrolled in our 3 and 4 year old program. 3 year old program is fully funded through the city, and our 4 year old program is a joint with the state, State Department of Education as well. I think if we are to increase our pre-K education at this point, we need to have a reconfiguration occur, because 220 students is really a school of itself. And if we were to expand, I think currently with our model having the preschool in each of our elementary schools, the capacity is not there to increase it by much more. So if we were going to do another boost, it would have to be in a building of its own. And there's a lot of pros and cons to both, but I think having one preschool building can allow us to service more students, and we can also combine services. A lot of the students that we're seeing in our preschool program have special needs, and we need physical therapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists, and they could be housed right in the building instead of having to transfer through all the schools. So I think that could really help bolster our preschool program.
Question number four. School officials have said that graduating students who are literate with technology will benefit the entire community, but many students have said that their teachers often lack the expertise or training to use the technology, and they don't want to see their teachers replaced by computers. Please describe the role you think technology should play in the classroom.
Well, first I will say probably my 9-year-old can use my iPhone more effectively than I can. So I understand the concerns of these students, and I understand the kind of fear that some of the teachers have about technology. And it all comes down to professional development and giving teachers time with the tools so that they can implement them effectively. And I don't want to see teachers replaced by computers. I think that computers have, absolutely, students need to have access to them and have knowledge and skills with computers, because every single job they're going to have is going to involve some kind of online, et cetera. So I actually feel like the school has done an amazing job with implementing our one-to-one. Maybe the technology was not the best, but we've actually replaced that this year with these laptops that are also touchscreen. I would tackle this with professional development, but we absolutely have to have computers and as much online as we can for our students so that they are prepared for the 21st century.
Question number five. Do you support the strategic plan of the Charlottesville Albemarle Technical Education Center? And a follow-up, should KTEC build a new facility at Piedmont Virginia Community College?
Well, I do support the strategic plan. It really marries what the state is doing with their pathways to jobs and with what the city is doing with their workforce development. I think it's a great partnership. We're working with the community leaders and business owners of the city and the county to find programs for students that they need jobs for. So I think that's a great partnership. In terms of moving the facility, I would say that is going to be a question of, will the programs be more effectively implemented at PVCC? What kind of use of the land for K-Tech currently? What will we do with that building? What monies would we need to actually build a facility there? I think there's a lot of information that we still need before we could make a decision on that. So I would certainly support if we felt like the programs being implemented at PVCC would be more effective for our kids. And I would support however we could do it if that was the finding, that that would be better placed there.
Question number 6. Are we recruiting the best teachers, measuring their performance effectively, and paying competitive salaries? And how do we know?
Well, I think we are absolutely paying competitive salaries. We do a comparison of other school divisions, and we are right around the top. And I think you can see that within our budget priorities for the past 4 years, quite frankly. And I do believe we are recruiting the best teachers. We are going to, you know, many universities talking about Charlottesville. And actually this year, instead of just talking about our school division, we've been talking about our city and all the amenities we have with our Fridays after 5, all the dining opportunities, all the Paramount, like trying to sell the Vineyards. We're actually not just talking about the school, but the lifestyle that Charlottesville can offer. And I think that is a way to recruit new talent, because they're not just looking for the school itself, but the whole lifestyle. And I feel we do measure the performance effectively. We have our walkthroughs. Principals go through goal setting with each of the teachers. The schools themselves have goals that they're trying to attain. So, yes, I think we do an amazing job with our teachers.
Question number 7. Why do we have persistent achievement gaps, and what's the single most important thing you will do to close the gap?
Well, I think I just talked about the things that I'm interested in doing, and I think the achievement gap is much more complicated than a number on a test. Many of our students are coming with a wide array of abilities and home life experiences that we have to tackle each one of them individually. And I think a lot of it is professional development. It's the truancy and attendance things I'm talking about, working with the families to understand that school is important and achievement is critical if we want to see students succeed beyond school, post high school. Can I pause? I'm not sure if I... Did I answer that?
Yeah. I mean, from your earlier response,
okay,
which of those things do you think are helping, would help close the gap?
Well, I think
you mentioned the truancy.
Right, truancy, and I think extending the school day for reading, that's going to be critical because they're going to be engaged in something that's worthwhile for 2 hours after school, and those times are critical. You know, if you're going home, I don't want to say any of that. I think it's critical, extending the school day, attendance policies, professional development. Those are all ways to get at the achievement gap.
Okay. Question number 8. Describe a part of the school division that would benefit from increased cooperation by the city, county, and or the University of Virginia, and that you would make a priority.
I think we have a lot of partnerships with UVA, the city, and the county, quite honestly. But I think one area that I'm focusing on right now is the Black Male Achievement, where we are trying to partner up with the Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and finding mentors for our young African-American boys. I think that is an area that I would love to see more UVA students, quite frankly, being involved with that, the fraternities, Madison House. These are all places that we are actually working right now to get more people involved. But that would be, well, that is one of my priorities. I am working on that right now, and I think that could be very helpful.
Question number 9. Do you support the grade reconfiguration plan for city schools such that Beaufort will house grades 6 through 8 as the only middle school? And if so, how will that be funded, and can it happen in your next term?
That's a great question. So I absolutely support reconfiguration. I think in terms of student achievement, we see a drop in test scores in fifth grade and then again in seventh grade. And I think that can be attributed somewhat to the fact that the students are switching buildings. And we know from our parents it's not an ideal situation to be in a school for 2 years and then move again and only be there for 2 years. So it's very inconsistent, and it's really difficult for our students that are already kind of on the cusp or in the bubble, so to speak. So, yes, I would absolutely support that. And I also believe the preschool is a main, would be the main beneficiary in that reconfiguration, because then we could also have our preschool housed in one location. And funding, I will not joke. I think that will be a difficult, I think that's going to be difficult. And that's something that the city council and the school board has to work out. I applaud the city council for doing the meals tax this year. I think that was a great effort to kind of bridge our operational gap. But this next, this would be another, you know, possible tax increase that I think we have to be really diligent about and make sure that this is what's best for this community and make sure we have public support to do it.
And the last question, speaking of the budget, what should council and the school board, what steps should council and the school board take to help build a more sustainable school budget?
Well, there were a lot of proposals with the Blue Ribbon Commission report, including, you know, closing a school, increasing revenues through property tax, and making the meals tax actually 2 cents rather than 1 cent. So I think this year I want to see first the revenue that is generated through the meals tax. And I think the school board's job is to try to come to close, as close as that we can to that number moving forward. I think the city council did a great job with implementing this, and I'd like to see this year what the revenue brings, and then go back to the school board's budget and make sure that number is as close to the number the city has this year.
Great. Amy Lawford, thank you for participating in this interview with Charlottesville Tomorrow.
Thank you for having me, Brian.